Welcome back. 1144, 1260 WRC. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. And joining me now, Stephen Dynan, Washington Times political editor. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Andy.
Lawmakers told IRS probe will take years. Now, there's a real shocker. Let me guess. We're going to get this done by December of 2016?
You know, that. what I can tell you is that we won't even get all of Lois Lerner's emails until after the November 2014 election. So December 2016 might be a good guess for getting all of the, you know, everything that the Republicans are requesting. And this came out of yesterday where the IRS commissioner, John Koskinen, testified to a House committee about his efforts to comply with the investigation, which is now just about 10.5 months old. Of course, it was in early to mid-May that we found out last year about the IRS Tea Party targeting, and here we are, and some Lois Lerner emails have been turned over. Some, hundreds of thousands of documents have been turned over, but there are still apparently hundreds of thousands more, including 20,000 that were turned over yesterday to the committee. So everything just keeps getting dragged out, and the IRS commissioner said, look, you guys have asked for so much, and it takes us so much time to go through and delete out or at least review to make sure there is no personal taxpayer information or protected taxpayer information in these emails that it's going to take us a while to get them all done, to which Republicans said, well, make it a priority. Take some of the 2,000 lawyers you have sitting there at your Washington office and designate a few more of them to read these emails. Make this a priority. And, you know, that's really a real fight, is how much of a priority the IRS does consider this. And it seems like it's not a high priority for them. It's certainly something they know they are under pressure from Congress to do, but they are not a high priority.
You know what's so weird about all of this? I can go in right now, and I even tried this morning. I have every email from Ann Wogue, my producer, extending back 3 years. And do you know I can access the entire list of them in about 20 seconds?
As a reporter, I would like to see that list, Andy. issue came up yesterday. Daryl Issa, the chairman of the committee, said he did something essentially exactly like that with his own email box. Here's the thing, and this is why the IRS, though, these are employees of the IRS, they do deal with confidential taxpayer information, and their answer is, yeah, it's not necessarily tough to go ahead and collect all of the emails. The problem is the review and redaction for private taxpayer information. That's what takes so much time, and that's what takes really high-powered, high-paid lawyers to go through all of this stuff, and that's why they claim that it's notching a tremendous cost in the tens of millions of dollars as well.
All right, why don't they just turn it over to a secret panel, let them filter through what they want, what they don't want very quickly, pull out the key emails, and take those.
Yeah, so that actually is going on to some extent. This doesn't necessarily answer Congress's questions, but there are two panels up here in Congress that are actually entitled to see private taxpayer information. That would be Ways and Means and the Senate Finance Committee, who handle tax law. However, even though they could just take a full dump of information, even they have had to negotiate smaller sets of data in order to get it. So there are a lot of things that don't entirely make sense there, but the end result is, look, if the IRS wanted to make this their top priority, they could speed this along faster. It's not their top priority. Their top priority is processing tax returns and dealing with questions and whatnot. This is something they know they have to do, but they have other priorities, and so here we are.
Yeah, and some of those priorities were to make rulings on some of these conservative groups, and we're still waiting the word on what, about 20 of them?
19 of them have been waiting since they'd already been about half a year, at least a half a year delinquent as of last May when all this issue popped up, and here they are, 19 of the, I guess there were about 130 that were in the priority backlog list back last March, and 20 of them still haven't been decided on one way or the other. Some of them are in litigation. Others, they're in a back and forth with the IRS over, you know, multiple sets of questions about their activities. What's interesting, we learned a bit more that so far there have only been, out of all of the applications, there have only been three that have been denied for tax exempt status, and that's an incredibly low number, and it does suggest, well, I guess if you are if you are groups that have been seeking tax-exempt status, and they've told me this, that is evidence to them that the IRS really has been overzealous even still in going through these applications. One other thing is that a number of the folks who did get approved got approved on what the IRS called its expedited review. We talked about this last year. This was something where the IRS came in and they announced basically an informal new rule that if these groups would agree to limit their political activity to just 40% of their job or what they do, then they could get, as long as they made that pledge, they could get approval. And a number of the groups said, no, that's different. Right now, your standard for everybody else is a majority. So as long as we keep it to 49.9%, we're okay. Why would we surrender more rights just to make your job easier? So the question is, you obviously continue to swirl, and this has not gone away.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about Lois Lerner for a second. Is she going to be cited with contempt?
You know, gosh, I have no idea. There are arguments on both sides about whether she is still able to be cited for contempt. And the issue, it goes back to her second appearance here earlier this month before the Oversight Committee. The question was whether the chairman, Daryl Issa, followed the proper procedures and making it clear that if she didn't answer questions, she would face a contempt citation. You know, he didn't actually come out and say, I disagree with your claim of constitutional privilege, right against self-incrimination on that answer. I didn't do it on that answer. I didn't do it on that answer. Some lawyers say that he needed to go ahead and do that on each of her answers. He didn't do that. Yesterday, the House counsel's office, in a memo that was released yesterday, the House's chief lawyer came out and said, no, she was clearly aware, as Issa had sent to her lawyer several communications that said, hey, she is under, liable for contempt if she doesn't answer our questions. She came, gave a flat refusal, said she wasn't going to answer any questions, and so the House's top lawyer says, well, obviously she's still in danger of contempt because she was warned ahead of time that would happen. So it gets into crazy legal understanding, and I imagine it ends up in the court. So we probably won't hear from Lois Lerner for a very long time, even if she is cited for contempt.
Yeah, I have to wonder in the back of my mind, if she is cited with contempt, does she squeal, you know?
Well, so what I think happens is that they cite her with contempt, and it goes to court, and she takes the contempt citation to court, and there it gets locked up in a court battle that goes for years and years and years,
yeah.
And so
yeah.
By that time, you know, we'll have probably forgotten about this by 2018 or so.
Yeah, you're right. All right, Obamacare, another delay. Extension? No, the Democrats say that's not the case at all, but John Boehner was not happy at all yesterday.
Yeah, called it a joke.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, this was sort of maybe a straw that broke the camel's back sort of delay. We'd seen all these other ones that had happened, but this one was interesting because the Health and Human Services Secretary had been asked at a hearing, I think just a week or two ago.
March 12th.
Yeah, there you go. And she flat out said the March 31st deadline will remain. And then here we have what amounts to a completely open-ended extension of the deadline. They haven't told us. They've said, you know, it could be weeks, it could be days, but we don't know the new deadline. And it's the way that you qualify for the for an extension is to say, I was in line, I went on the Health Exchange website and tried to buy insurance but wasn't able to complete it, but you don't have to provide any proof of it. So it's sort of like the hardship exemption that they just announced, or that they'd announced in December but hadn't become public until earlier this month. That's why this is really starting to pile up, and Republicans are basically just throwing up their hands and saying, you know, we don't even know what comes next, but we wouldn't be surprised at any delay the president does now. And you see Democrats increasingly worried about the politics of Obamacare. Just overnight, we saw a handful of Democrats propose a set of principles that they want to see for tweaks they want to see to Obamacare. So you're starting to see them come out with, I don't think they're ever going to get votes on the floor because Harry Reid can't allow that, but you are starting to see them come up with their own, not full alternatives, but tweaks to it that they say would make it better. It's very, very, very interesting. The politics are getting worse and worse for Democrats here.
Yeah, and Harry Reid, of course, blamed it on old people in the Internet.
Yeah, you know, what's funny about that is that old people are not the ones that have been lacking in signing up. According to the numbers, it's the young people who apparently are good at the Internet who weren't able to sign up.
Yeah, I know. All right, one more thing before I let you run. I saw the story, Democrats push for a House vote on immigration. Just a symbolic gesture, is that what?
Yeah, this is going nowhere. Their bill has fewer than 200 co-sponsors right now, and they'd need 217, 218 signatures to get this done. And so there's no way they get there. This is basically a way of them trying to shift blame. Immigrant rights activists are angry at both Republicans and Democrats, angry Republicans for not moving a bill, angry Democrats for not halting deportations, President Obama for not halting deportations unilaterally. This is a way for Democrats to try and shift blame back to Republicans in the minds of Hispanic voters, and we'll see how well it works.
Mm-hmm. All right, very good. Stephen, as always, thanks for your help.
My pleasure, Andy.
Stephen Dinan, Washington Times political editor, 1154, 1260 WRC. Andy Parks, live from the Washington Times.